Welcome to Stories from the Shadows, haunted tales from the golden age of ghost stories and supernatural horror fiction. I'm Mardell, reading Sweeney Todd. Chapter 9. We return now to Bell Yard. Mrs. Lovett, having disposed of her cook, has engaged another, who had applied to her in half-starved condition, with an unlimited leave to eat as much as possible. No wonder that, banishing all scruple, a man so placed would take the situation with little inquiry. But people will tire of good things. As he was seated in the bakehouse under the shop, he muttered to himself, I know they're made of the finest flour, the best possible butter, and that the meat, which comes from God knows where, is the most delicate-looking and tender I ever ate in all my life. He stretched out his hand and broke a small portion of the crust from the pie that was before him, and he tried to eat it. He certainly did succeed, but it was a great effort, and when he had done, he shook his head, saying, No, no, damn it, I cannot eat it, and that's a fact. One cannot be continually eating pies. It's out of the question. Quite out of the question. And all I have to remark is, damn the pies. I really don't think I shall be able to let another one pass my lips. He rose and paced with rapid strides the place in which he was. And then suddenly he heard a noise, and looking up, saw a trap door in the roof open, and a bag of flour began gradually to come down. "Hello, hello!" he cried. "Mrs. Lovett! Mrs. Lovett!" Down came the flower, and the trap was closed. "Oh, I can't stand this sort of thing!" he exclaimed. "I cannot be made into a machine for the manufacture of pies. I cannot and will not endure it. It's all past bearing." For the first time, almost since his incarceration, for such it really was, he began to think that he would take an accurate survey of the place, where this tempting manufacture was carried on. He stood in the center of this vault with a lamp in his hand, and he turned slowly round, surveying the walls and the ceilings with the most critical and marked attention. But not the smallest appearance of an outlet was observable. In fact, the walls were so entirely filled up with the stone shelves that there was no space left for a door, and as for the ceiling, it seemed perfectly entire. Then the floor was of earth, so that the idea of a trap door opening in it was out of the question, because there was no one on his side of it to place the earth again over it and give it its compact and usual appearance. He now made a still narrower examination of this vault, but he gained nothing by that. A closer inspection convinced him that there were a number of lines written with lead pencil. After some difficulty, he deciphered them as follows. Whatever unhappy wretch reads these lines may bid adieu to the world and all hope, for he is a doomed man. He will never emerge from these walls with his life, for there is a secret connected with them so awful and so hideous that to write it makes one's blood curdle and the flesh to creep upon my bones. The secret is this, and you may be assured, whoever is reading these lines, that I write the truth, and that it is as impossible to make the awful truth worse by any exaggeration as it would to be by a candle at midday to attempt to add a new luster to the sunbeams. Here most unfortunately the writing broke off, and our friend, who up to this point perused the lines with the utmost interest, felt great bitterness of disappointment from the fact that enough should have been written to stimulate his curiosity to the highest point, but not enough to gratify it. "This is indeed most provoking," he exclaimed. "Oh, what can this most dreadful secret be, which is impossible to exaggerate? I cannot for a moment divine to what it can allude." In vain he searched over the door for some more writing. There was none to be found. And from the long, straggling pencil mark which followed the last word, it seemed as if he who had then been writing had been interrupted, and possibly met the fate that he had predicted, and was about to explain the reason of. Oh, this is worse than no information. I had better have remained in ignorance than receive so indistinct a warning. But they shall not find me an easy victim. And besides, what power on earth can force me to make pies unless I like? I should wish to know. As he stepped out of the place in which meat was kept, into the large vault where the ovens were, he trod upon a piece of paper. That a piece of paper was lying upon the ground in which he was quite certain he had not observed before. He picked it up with some curiosity. That curiosity was, however, soon turned to dismay when he saw what was written upon it, which was to the following effect. You are getting dissatisfied, and therefore it becomes necessary to explain to you your real position, which is simply this. You are a prisoner, and were such from the first moment that you set foot where you now are, and you will find, unless you are resolved upon sacrificing your life, that your best plan will be to quietly give in to the circumstances in which you find yourself placed. Without going into any argument of details upon the subject, it is sufficient to inform you that, so long as you continue to make the pies, you will be safe. But if you refuse, then the first time you are caught asleep, your throat will be cut. This document dropped from the half-paralyzed hands of that man, who, in the depth of his distress, and urged on by great necessity, had accepted a situation that he would have given worlds to escape from, had he been possessed of them. "Gracious heaven!" he exclaimed. "And am I then indeed condemned to such slavery? Is it possible that even in the heart of London I'm a prisoner, and without the means of resisting the most frightful threats that are uttered against me? Surely, surely, this must all be a dream. Why, it is too terrific to be true!" "If I am to die," he cried, "let me die with some weapon in my hand, as a brave man ought, and I will not complain." He sprang to his feet, and rushing up to the door, which opened from the house into the vaults, he made a violent and desperate effort to shake it. "Continue at your work," said the voice, "or death will be your portion. As soon as sleep overcomes you, and you sink exhausted to that repose which you will never awaken from, except you feel the pangs of death, and to be conscious that you are weltering in your blood, continue at your work and you will escape all this. Neglect it, and your doom is sealed." "What have I done that I should be made such a victim of? Let me go, and I will swear never to divulge the fact that I have been in these vaults, so I cannot disclose any of their secrets, even if I knew them." "Make pies," said the voice. "Eat them and be happy. How many a man would envy your position, withdrawn from all the struggles of existence, amply provided with board and lodging, and engaged in a pleasant and delightful occupation. It is astonishing how you can be dissatisfied." Bang went the little square orifice at the top of the door, and the voice was heard no more. The jeering mockery of these tones, however, still lingered upon the ear of the unhappy prisoner, and he clasped his head in his hands with a fearful impression upon his brain that he surely must be going mad. "He will drive me to insanity," he cried. "Already I feel a sort of slumber stealing over me for want of exercise, and the confined air of these vaults hinder me from taking regular repose. But now if I close an eye, I shall expect to find the assassin's knife at my throat." With a desperate and despairing energy, he set about replenishing the furnaces of the oven, and when he had got them all in a good state, he commenced the manufacturing a batch of 100 pies, which when he had finished and placed upon the tray and set the machine in motion which conducted them up to the shop, he considered to be a sort of price paid for his continued existence, and flinging himself upon the ground, he fell into a deep slumber. Please join me next time for the further adventures of Sweeney Todd here on Stories from the Shadows. In the meantime, I wouldn't blame you if you leave the lights on.